Apartments.com believes having a gym in your building does way more than just get you in shape. It turns your entire life around and is a great place to scope out the hot guy that lives in your building. And by guy, I mean guys. Having a gym in your building makes it 10 times more likely that you actually end up, show up, and work out. I mean, it's 5 floors down or whatever it is. And you'll be saving money on a gym membership that you'll go to probably half as much. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live is easy. Apartments.com hosts more rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. Or a treadmill, for that matter. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit apartments.com, the place to find a place. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Sophia with an F. I am here with my producer. Before we get into the show, I have to ask you guys to please subscribe. Mm-hmm. Some of you may have, but I think a lot of you have not. And I'm talking directly to you people. I can't, once again, my show's going to get shut down if you don't hurry and do it right now. Pause, subscribe, and then keep listening, you guys. It's what keeps me chugging along. Keeps me mics, camera, action.
Yeah, and it keeps me in a job. You just pretty much said that I was getting fired here soon. So yeah, guys, subscribe, please.
We are from here on out holding our microphones. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot to some people, but usually they're set up on a mic stand. And then our audio engineer said, wow, it sounds so much better when you're holding it. The only issue when you're holding a mic, I mean, there's no issue for me per se. It's more for Alex. She says it's really fucking heavy.
It's very heavy. Last time we did this, we held them as well. And I was sore for the next 4 days. So,
By the way, guys, they're not heavy. The only thing is just if you move a little to the left or a little to the right and you kind of move the wire of the mic, it could fuck up the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So where do we begin? Where do we fucking begin? Because there's a lot of things going on. It's a time for celebration on my end for a multitude of reasons. I squirted for the first time in like 5 years.
No, you did not.
It's been I've only squirted a handful of times in my life, and I haven't for the past 5 years, and it randomly happened. And I wish I had a dude to, you know, give that, what the fuck is the word? Give that recognition to. Mm-hmm. I only have that recognition to give to my womanizer.
Ooh.
So shout out womanizer. It was just me and her, and she made the squirt happen. I love her so much. Why did it happen randomly after 5 years? Alex, I feel like, and you hear this from squirters all around town.
Okay, let's hear it.
Squirters are a type of person. I just let go. I just let it go.
What do you mean you let it go?
Sometimes when I'm about to have an orgasm, I kind of try to hold back a little tiny bit. And this one was just completely leg spread. I don't care what sound comes out of my vagina. I don't care what comes out of my vagina. I don't care. Like, I'm here to just let go and have my orgasm.
Wow.
Every single inhibition was gone, which even though I will have consistent sex with one person and my inhibitions for the most part are mostly down, I think there's always just still maybe a little tiny bit in the back of my head.
Yeah, that makes sense.
This? I let her go.
I want to know, did you make any, were you vocal at all? You said like you hold back on your orgasms sometimes. And sometimes when I do that, I find myself trying to be more quiet because sometimes, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
wait, quiet when I'm squirting?
No, like when you're orgasming.
Like my squirt was so loud, it sounded
your
like
mouth.
A water
vocal
bottle.
Means mouth.
Well, your vagina can be vocal. Just
did
saying.
You moan or scream or anything?
I didn't scream, but I definitely like made a moaning sound.
Thanks.
For sure. But it felt really fucking good. And I can't wait to do it again sometime.
Did you change your sheets?
It was just a little squirt. It wasn't a big one. It really wasn't. But it was a squirt. I felt it and I felt the need to even check the sheets. And there was like a, you know, a nice size puddle. And it was a squirt.
Well, congrats.
I mean, some people would say it was pee, but I didn't feel like it was. And I smelled it and it didn't smell like it.
Good.
But it was really good. And I'm going to try to do it again. And I think that's just a lesson for all of us to take with us is every time we're fucking with another individual, I think you do have in the back of your mind, oh, am I saying something dirty enough for them? Am I something for them? Like you're aware there's someone else in the room you're having sex with.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what helped me squirt.
Because it was just you and the womanizer.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Get comfortable with your toys.
Yeah.
Friends.
Yeah.
And then be shy around them.
Don't be shy around
you. You won't embarrass yourself.
No. You absolutely won't. All right. So that is one update that's really exciting for me. Another one, I'm also going to get STD tested tomorrow.
What the fuck?
With Alex because of you.
Okay. Okay. Guys, I just got back from Vegas. I did walk in here. I was like, Sophia, we have a situation on our hands. You need to take me to Planned Parenthood right now. I thought you were saying that you were
I'm going to get STD tested too. I mean, I'm, you know, in a relationship, quote unquote, but like, I don't know what he does.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, it's true. You're supposed to get routinely STD tested.
And it's been a minute since I have. So, damn, about to catch him up to no good. If he has given me anything and cheated,
I feel like this is going to be a fun little adventure.
It will. I have a feeling you might have something. I feel pretty confident I won't. If I'm being perfectly honest.
Should we bet on it?
We should. Let's put a bet right now.
Okay.
How much? $20?
I bet $1. Mm-hmm. I bet $50 you don't have one.
Okay.
And I bet $1 I don't have one.
That sounds like someone with an STD would say. So I guess, yeah, that's a bet I'm willing to take. Besides those things, those sexual things, there's another like huge fucking thing that has just changed my life. And it has to do with the update on our iPhones. I don't know if anyone has downloaded the newest update on their iPhones, but I have. And let me just say, FaceTiming now, real nice and real different. Apple has answered our fucking prayers. So, you know, every single time you go to FaceTime and you are in a little tiny box in the corner and the person you're FaceTiming is basically the entire screen.
Mm-hmm.
And you are squinting your eyes trying to make out what you look like in the little box in the corner because you don't give a fuck what he looks like or she looks like. You just care about what you look like on the FaceTime.
Yes, this is true.
Not anymore. Because with this update, you can make your screen basically bigger than theirs. You're no longer a tiny box in the corner. You can be the focal point of that FaceTime if you want to.
That's and amazing.
It's incredible. It's kind of weird because you're not in a corner. You're literally front and center, just a way bigger square. So you can only see, you know, the outer screen of their phone. So like, mm-hmm. There's a really good chance. I mean, when I was doing this and I was FaceTiming, I couldn't see their face. I could only see my face, but like I could see the borders of their room. So you might not be able to see them, but who cares?
Mm-mm.
You can you can see yourself on the big screen now.
It's not like I was listening to them anyway.
No.
Can't hear and look at myself at the same time.
Absolutely fucking not. So that's fucking huge, you guys. Now, if you need to like even just check in on your face and see, you know, the way you're laying or the way you're sitting or if like the double chin or it's like up above so it looks like you're balding, you can like check in on all of that shit. So I'm very excited about that. But before we move on, I want to talk about something that is trending in the news right now. Taylor Swift, as we know, is re-recording all of her music because her label sold. I mean, they had the rights to her music and it was like sold to someone. And so she has no ownership of any song that she's ever made, which I feel on a very personal, deep level. And so I think it's fucking so badass that Taylor Swift would make this move. Mm-hmm. But she is currently re-recording a particular song, and that's what people are talking about. So what is it?
So actually, she recorded it a long time ago. It's All Too Well. She just released a 10-minute version that her label didn't let her release.
Mm.
So she came out with a 10-minute version and a short film about it. And
damn, this girl is like on overdrive, yes. Fucking going to work.
Yes.
Imagine having to re-record every single song from every album. And she's like, well, this particular song I'm making into a short film.
Literally.
Damn. I need whatever drugs she's on or whatever team she has.
Dude, and her next one is going to be directed by Blake Lively.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
What is it called? What is the song called?
All Too Well.
How does it go?
Sitting on her, this says on you in your drawer, even now.
Is that, Alex, that's really funny. You're shying up for the first time
all
ever.
Too well.
All right. Well, we'll go listen to that after. So it's the song All Too Well.
And the short film is like a dramatization of her and her past boyfriend, Jake Gyllenhaal's relationship.
Okay.
Where the guy that's supposed to be Jake Gyllenhaal is very rude.
Okay.
Kind of disrespectful.
Piece of shit.
Yeah. And the lyrics like go along to him being a piece of shit.
Okay. So it's like she aired out Jake Gyllenhaal already when she released this song, uh-huh. But now she's doing it times a million.
Yeah. So she did like, I don't know, a 4-minute version at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're doing 10 minutes and there's a fucking 10-minute movie about it.
Oh my God. Woo. I wonder how Jake feels about it. I mean, we don't really care. This is badass.
Yeah. I mean, she's dated so many famous
mm-hmm.
men in the industry, and I'm pretty sure every single song is written about
right.
one of them.
Right.
So I'm excited who else.
I know. I'm wondering.
Like Harry Styles.
Right.
Who else? Calvin Harris.
Are they all shaking in their boots right now? Like,
oh, probably.
Fuck, what short film is about to come out about me? Sounds like Jake was a piece of shit. I do have to say Jake Gyllenhaal is the hottest person on planet Earth.
I second that motion.
I saw him in person at a charity event. I saw him. He was there with his now girlfriend, I believe. And he's hotter in person.
No.
He did look at me. He did look at me. And I'm not acting self-obsessed. He noticed me in the room. He gave me a look. And I don't know. I don't know if he was into it, but he did look at me. So I could see how he would be a piece of shit to every girlfriend he has.
Ooh.
It wasn't a regular look, you guys.
Good point.
He gave me the up and down. He looked at my cleavage, which I don't have. He looked at, you know.
Your butt.
Exactly, which I do have. He made eye contact.
Wow.
I tried to.
You're lucky.
I tried to wait outside of the men's restroom for him, but his girlfriend would not leave him. His girlfriend was also gorgeous and good for Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm. Good job, Tay. Can't wait to see what's you and Blake Lively come up with.
Yes, and no amount of hotness can make up or counteract the amount of shittiness. Some girls are cool with that, though. You know that. Some girls are dating a dude that's just so hot that they are okay with being treated like a piece of shit. I don't care if you look like Jake Gyllenhaal. If you're treating me like shit, you're out. Bye.
Bye.
Reality TV has hit a new high on Hulu. From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel, the all-new Hulu original series High Hopes is finally here for your viewing pleasure. High Hopes follows two budding entrepreneur brothers and their hilarious, half-baked, literally, employees at one of the fastest growing cannabis dispensaries in Hollywood. This workplace comedy showcases the highs and even more highs of the competitive marijuana industry. You will absolutely fall in love with the quirky characters as they pursue career aspirations, love, and fame, all under a slightly hazy cloud. If you know, you know. All episodes of the new reality series, High Hopes, are now streaming only on Hulu. This is absolutely a show I'm getting behind. Can you feel it, Sleuths? The days are getting warmer and spring has officially sprung, which means spring break is here. Which, for the older folk, that basically means people are going outside, they're staying outside, and they are staying out way longer. But the thing is, who wants to deal with those post-party struggles? I know I don't. I mean, I quite literally and physically can't at this stage in my life. And that's where my spring break essential comes in, which is Taste Salud. Say goodbye to the Sunday scaries with Taste Salud's hydrating drink mixes. Listen, I started my spring break a little bit early last weekend when my best friend Allie came to town. And we had a night or two on the town. And how I felt, honestly, come Monday morning was better than any spring break party you can imagine. And that is a rare occurrence for me and has only started happening since I've started drinking Taste Salud religiously. Because unlike those big name brands we all know, Salud knocks it out of the park with their one-of-a-kind flavors. I'm drinking one right now. And no, it's not because I plan on drinking any kind of alcohol, but just because I'm trying to get hydrated and energized. I'm obviously drinking the horchata flavor, but you get to enjoy flavors like cucumber lime, hibiscus, and they even have mocktails now. Say hello to Paloma and strawberry margarita. Filled with electrolytes and vitamins that support hydration and boost immunity with less sugar. I'm talking only 1 gram of sugar per stick. This is exactly what you need to get your Sunday fun day going, regardless of what the rest of the day entails. And here's the best part. They're sharing the love with all of my listeners. Enjoy 10% off your first purchase with the code SOFIA10 at checkout. That's SOFIA and the number 10 at TasteSalud.com. Cheers to health this spring break season with Taste Salud. Now this is my kind of content right here. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, starring the absolute queen herself, Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach who has taken her husband Art and transformed him into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt him out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event, close to the lowest level of the pro tournament. But her strategy takes a turn when he finds himself standing across the net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. Past and present collide, and tensions run high. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers now, playing only in theaters. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. Woo! All right, now it is time to get into Sleuth University.
This is not a new in your drawer. All to
instead of keeping it light and fluffy, I want to talk about something serious. And I want to give a quick trigger warning regarding eating disorders, body dysmorphia, to anyone who may want to skip past this. That is what we're going to be talking about. So I recently went on a show where, well, Alex was there. Mm-hmm. I didn't look or act or behave well by any means. And there were several comments made about it. And I almost didn't even let it be released. I ultimately just let it go because, you know what? There's a lot of bad shit of me on the internet that I just kind of have to let out there. In hindsight, maybe I wouldn't have let it be published for thousands of people to see, but I did. But it brought up a lot of reflection on my end, and it brought up a lot of comments and DMs and questions from people asking me if I eat food. This is what I'm trying to say. It was not my best moment. You can tell that I am not all there and I'm not really functioning at my highest level by any means. You can tell I'm drunk. I just seem super out of it. I'm not being quick. I'm not being my usual self. Mm-hmm. And I made comments on the show about not eating, which I just want to say that is how I deal with and process things that are real to me and they're fucked up. And I just try to kind of make light of them and maybe make jokes that could have come off inappropriate. I'm not sure. But yeah, it was not my best moment. I was stressed, exhausted, hammered, and I was also running on zero fuel, aka zero fucking food. And I got so much feedback that I kind of just had to be honest with myself and be real with you guys. And I think we should talk about the way that we eat and our relationships with food. My eating habits for the past 2 years now, I would say have been scary. Not yes. normal, not healthy, not okay. And I want to be very careful with this segment, but like with most things in life, eating disorders are not black and white. But the fact of the matter is, I have a fucked up relationship with food, and it's important that I talk about it because I know a lot of people have an unhealthy relationship with food. So in me trying to be completely transparent, and I'm going to be so fucking open and honest here, you guys, and you guys can like write in and tell me what you think, but I run on empty way more than I should. Alex, let's just go through the list of times and the list of things that make it hard for me to eat. Anytime I'm stressed, mm-hmm. anytime I'm working, anytime I'm on the road, anytime I'm partying. Can we talk about that one? That's a big one for me because, Alex, do you eat when you're in party mode?
No, I can't.
Why is that?
I don't know. Especially like, you know how people love to go to like Sunday brunch mm-hmm. and stuff like, and let's do mimosas and eat. I will get a whole plate of food and I can't touch it.
Right. Because the second you have a mimosa or two, the food is just like, you're not interested. Mm-hmm. So that's a big one for me because so much of my work actually revolves around partying, you know?
Yeah.
When I'm on the road, I mean, when I go on shows, it's like, hey, you know, let's make this a party. Let's have a fun time. Make this a good show. Let's take shots. Let's get everyone loose and comfortable. Let's go.
Yeah.
This is what I want to say. I don't feel, and I'm not a professional. I'm just talking from the heart. I don't feel that I refrain from food deliberately. I've never actively thought to myself, okay, Sophia, you can't eat right now because you just had a drink. Or, okay, Sophia, you can't eat right now because you're stressed about something. Or, you can't eat right now because XYZ. It's never like a deliberate thought out thing to not pick up my fork and eat something. It's just in my subconscious or it's just my second nature. I just can't physically stomach it. I eat food on a plate, like I cannot physically stomach it, which is probably a disorder in itself.
Yes. I mean, I am not an expert by any means. I like that you brought up that like it's not a deliberately thought out thing, because the thing with not just eating disorders, but disorders in general, it's never a thought out thing. And honestly, sometimes people don't even notice it.
Well, I assume that it was, because I grew up on books like, what's the one, Seeking Amy?
The song by Britney Spears?
No, what? Is that what I just fucking said? No, I grew up reading something like that. And I remember reading that. And then I remember reading a book when I was in middle school about this girl that would throw up in jars. And like, I remember reading all that stuff. And these young women were doing it purposefully and looking in the mirror thinking, I want to lose weight. That's not what my non-eating stems from.
So you just like weren't really educated on this topic of,
I mean, you tell
me, nervosa is what you're saying.
I guess. I mean,
because,
yeah,
like you said earlier, neither of us are experts, but
right?
You're saying yours presents itself in a different way than the books you grew up reading.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
you're right. So I'm not educated on the subject at all. I always thought that if you have an eating disorder, that means you have anorexia or bulimia. And it's because you don't want to gain weight or you're trying to lose weight. And I thought that was it, plain and simple. And I'm realizing now that I'm older, it's not plain and simple like that.
Mm-mm.
So it's this thing where I don't think I've had the best relationship with food for a while, because I've been under so much stress and there are so many factors. When I do eat is when I feel safe. So I wanted to talk about this, because how many people do you know have a healthy relationship with food?
I don't know. Maybe my mom, maybe my dad.
Okay. Because I, off the top of my head, I can't think of one person.
Yeah.
I really can't. And I think it's something that we need to talk about. And also, let me just bring this up. What about the whole body dysmorphia aspect?
Yeah, you have that one too.
Well, you've told me that in the past, and I never thought anything of it, because I, you know, look in the mirror and I think I'm skinny. But what brought it to my attention was actually in the same week as I went on this show, I did a photo shoot. I am not a model. I'm a podcaster. And this photo shoot was with real models, and that is what they do for a living. And I was very intimidated. And I remember talking to a team member and saying, oh my God, I feel a little bit out of my element. I know I'm doing really well, but at the same time, like, these are actual models and I'm not as fit or I'm not as skinny as them. And like, this is just like crazy and, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of feeling bad for myself. And after the photo shoot was done, she brought it up to me. She said, you didn't look any smaller, any bigger. And really, you were on the same page.
Yeah.
Really looking similar.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a huge realization when I was looking at behind the scenes from the photo shoot, where I did look extremely similar to these girls, but I didn't feel it in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I have body dysmorphia. I clearly have my own shit to figure out. I'm working on it. I just wanted to get on here and talk vulnerably, because this is one of my many forms of therapy, is this fucking show. And I know I'm not in this boat alone. And it's something that I need to look at, because I haven't looked at it. And eating disorders are the deadliest form of mental illnesses. Did you know that? I researched it before we got on here.
I didn't know that.
Second only to opioid overdose. 10,200 people die from an eating disorder in America each year. That's one death every 52 minutes. What the fuck? So I don't mean to come on here and make this shit sound like a health class, but like I said before, I wanted to face this shit up front, because it's real and serious, especially with women, considering the fucking scrutiny we live under as soon as we slide out the pussy or C-section. And I care about you guys so much. And it warmed my heart that you guys actually give a fuck about me. Like, you guys showed genuine concern and you guys were the ones who made me really look this shit in the face. So I want to thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people out there can relate and are glad to hear that you are able to acknowledge it
and be real about it. And it's not that I can't get on a healthy schedule. I've been on a healthy schedule. But the issue with that is I can only get on the healthy schedule when I'm under very little stress and everything's going well in my life and I'm at home and, you know, everything's going great and then I'm healthy and then I'm like, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner or more so. But that's not, you can't live your life only being on a healthy schedule if it's under the perfect
circumstances.
Yeah. You can't live life like that. Because right now I live life just not eating and then just binging.
Mm-hmm.
So that is some real fucking talk on my end. And thank you guys so much for listening. I love you guys. And I think we should continue the conversation. But let's lighten things up a little bit and let's get into motherfucking questions.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
SOS, save our sleuths, questions, stories, and I try to give advice. And my advice is pretty fucking good. Just saying. Alex, you don't need to confirm or deny. First question. Hi, I met this guy the first week of college who happens to live two doors down from me and we started hooking up. I caught feelings like a total simp loser and we went on and off for a couple months hooking up. Well, last weekend, one of my best friends slash my roommate ended up locked in his room. Basically, long story short, my ass arrives at his bedroom door about to bust this bitch down, yelling, "Get the fuck out here." A little crazy, I know. My friend comes out and I start screaming at her. Never been filled with more rage in my life. Basically, this fake ass friend of mine sees no wrong in her doing and says, "Sorry, he wanted to fuck me so bad." I live with this girl and the guy lives two doors down and is in my friend group. Sophia, what the hell do I do? I need revenge. Any ideas? Woo! Sade! Nope. Let me just put it this way. If I was hooking up with a dude and my friend slash roommate started to hook up with him too, and when I, you know, approached her and asked her about it, and her answer was, "Sorry, he wanted to fuck me so bad," ew, I would have spit on a bitch.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
I would have freaked the fuck out. That's disgusting.
That's so rude. It's like, no, guys will literally fuck a hole in the dirt. Like,
like for real. He didn't want to fuck you so bad. He wants to fuck something so bad. Mm-hmm. So, girlfriend, do not, you're not that fucking cool. This girl is wondering what she should do and she wants to get revenge. All right. Do I believe in revenge? You know, I don't, but like a little bit. Like it lives, you know, in the back of my head. It's like always there, a tiny bit to try to get some revenge. And the thing is, the fact that you are roommates with this girl, the amount of revenge you could do knows no bounds.
That's true. You are as literally as close as you can get.
Like, you can fill up her shampoo bottle with your piss. You can fucking spit in any food she's eating. Like, you can do some really fucked up shit. You could put blonde bleach in her hair shampoo and conditioner and start putting shit in, like, her facial product so she looks like complete garbage. Like, you could go full Mean Girls on this bitch. I think the sweetest revenge is for her to see that this dude really wants nothing to do with her. He's going to fuck her one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you, the best revenge is to just get the fuck over both of them. And the thing is, this is really hard though, because she's roommates with this girl.
Yes.
And she has to live with this girl. So I think instead of starting like a full out war with your own roommate where she also has access to your shit, I think that you need to let it go. And I think that you should just put her in the box of complete party friend. You don't trust her with your secrets. She's not your closest friend. She's a girl that you unfortunately have to sleep next to, that sometimes you can take to a party, and you can't trust her around fucking anyone.
Yeah. I mean, you can trust that maybe she'll sleep with them.
That... Alex, what a great point. This is the friend that you take around to parties like, "Hey, I have a bitch that's like willing to sleep with like anyone there. Can I get in?"
Yeah.
The frat house, like it's so hard to get in. There's a line outside the door. You text the dude and you're like, "No, I have a friend who's ready and willing because guys want to fuck her so bad. She said it herself."
Mm-hmm.
And then boom, you're in the party.
Yeah.
Boom, you're in the friend group.
Yep.
Wow. Use it to your advantage.
For sure.
Turn lemons into lemonade. Exactly. Okay, next. Hi, Sophia. Could you hype up redheads? I have always felt so insecure about my hair. I grew up hearing, "Does the carpet match the drapes? Fire crotch." And I am still traumatized from kick a ginger day in middle school. I have always felt so unattractive compared to my blonde and brunette friends around men. Help boost a sleuth's confidence. You inspire me every day. I think that redheads are the hottest people on planet Earth. And I mean that like sincerely from the bottom of my heart. If you guys know John, he's like a frequent guest. We always talk about this, specifically women. There is something about a redheaded woman that I think is just so beyond gorgeous. Jessica Chastain. Are you kidding? Are you kidding me? The fucking cartoon character who framed Roger Rabbit.
Jessica Rabbit.
Okay, Jessica Rabbit.
Oh, Jessica Chastain? Is that who that was?
No, no. Jessica Chastain's a human. Jessica Rabbit is a cartoon.
I was like, then why don't you just call her Jessica Rabbit? No. You gotta put the title of the movie in there to confuse people.
They're both gorgeous-ass redheads. Girl, I understand that it was a little bit difficult because redheads are not as common as the rest, but it's something that you just need to embrace. And I'm telling you right now, you're hot as fuck.
Yeah, 100%. You're unique.
You are.
You're not like everyone else.
Exactly.
You're different.
Yeah. And I've like gone out and I have plenty of friends who are hot blondes and there are dudes that gravitate to them because they are hot blondes and they don't want a brunette. Right? And vice versa. And I think that's the same with redheads. Like certain people yes. gravitate to different hair colors. And I think you just own it, baby girl, because you are one, not in a million, because I don't know the redhead ratio, but you are very unique. And I think that, trust me, you're not going to have a problem finding men.
No.
I don't care if you're with blondes or brunettes or blue-haired bitches. Like, you're fine.
Yes. Wait, what? Okay, we did an episode a couple episodes back, The Crazy Hot Matrix. The redheads landed on there somewhere. Do you remember where it was?
So the Matrix was like, you have your crazy scale and your hot scale. And you're trying to find a girl. If they're super, super hot, they tend to be super, super crazy, right? Mm-hmm. And they said, so just right away, the super hot crazy bitches you got to get rid of. You got your strippers, you got your hairdressers, you got your redheads. Mm-hmm. AKA meaning you're hot as fuck.
Yes.
And men think you're crazy, which men love.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, girl, just every day you'll get more and more comfortable.
For sure.
I mean, if you really want to test it, go blonde or go brunette and you're going to hate it and you're going to want to go back.
Get a wig. But don't, because you are beautiful just the way that you are.
I agree with that. I think redheads are so hot. Andrew Santino, have you met him?
He's hot as fuck. Ooh. And even hotter in person, I will say.
Way hotter in person. I don't care if it matches the drapes. I don't care if he has a penis. I don't care what the fuck. I don't care if the crotch is on fire. I'm down. Okay, next question. Hi, Sophia and Alex. I had the craziest weekend and everyone is making me out to be psychotic. I went out with my friend for what she told me was only 2 drinks and we were going home. It was not 2 drinks. We ended up meeting guys later on, which I made them subscribe to the pod, by the way.
Oh, your signature Ooh. Fucking move.
We'll talk about that in a second. And my phone died and I didn't get home till 5 a.m. where I started vomiting everywhere at this guy's house. I ended up saying I need to go to the hospital because this was not a normal hangover. I ended up going to the ER wearing your mugshot hoodie. Who is this bitch? Can the real bitch who wrote this question please stand up? I'm obsessed with you. So let me finish the question. Still drunk and all nurses staring at me. I have refused to turn my phone on until today because I also texted my ex like Alex did on the last pod 19 times.
Ooh, lucky number 19.
Ooh. Now that it's Monday morning, I'm back at work and my family and friends think I'm wild for ending up in the ER and drinking so much. I don't think I went too hard. I've gone harder. I didn't act a fool, but everyone is making me feel like I need to stay home and knit? Question mark. Should I feel bad for having a night out? Sincerely, a lonely slut with no friends or family at the moment. Okay. She's asking an honest question, but I'm gonna be selfish. The fact that she was having people subscribe to the pod while she was out makes me want to lick her vagina and make her my best friend mm-hmm. and take her into my home yes. and just bathe her and wash her and scrub uh-huh. her down and like put clean pajamas on her uh-huh. and cradle her to sleep.
Yeah.
That's something I like to do. Like LA. What did I do in LA, Alex?
She, when we went to dinner that we talked about on the last episode.
Yep, with a group of, well, one of them was a famous rapper, but a group of people we had no clue who they were, like 10 dudes.
Yes. Sophia grabbed every single one of their phones and made them subscribe. None of these guys look like they've ever listened to a podcast in their life. I don't even think they had the app.
They didn't. They didn't.
Oh, Sophia downloaded the apps.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So, and then I made them all subscribe and they were like, what the fuck is this? And I was like, trust me, don't worry. It's you're never going to have to think about it ever again. It's just it's just a subscription. So I love you so much for doing that, SLU. And wearing my mugshot hoodie in the ER. That's a tricky situation because part of me wants to be proud and be like, fuck yeah, and like send in the pic. Part of me is like, SLU, you got to take care of yourself. I understand why your family and friends are acting a little freaked out right now. I have never ended up in the ER from drinking too much, but I've ended up in jail.
Like the fucking picture.
Why don't I ever get taken to the ER? I would rather get taken to the ER than to jail. I'll tell you that right now.
A lot of us probably
would. Yeah, so I never got that fucking luxury. But I think it's fair that your family and friends are a little freaked out right now. And let me tell you this, they're going to be freaked out for the moment. It will surpass. Like, they'll get over it in a week or two.
Just lay low for a second.
Yeah.
Make your comeback, maybe a little less of a comeback that will result in the ER, but
yes,
it will blow over for sure. These are coming from two fucking alcoholics that have been through this time and time and time again.
We have woken up so many times being like, oh, my family and friends hate me. What do I do? And they always come back.
They do. They always
They always come back. The ER is not too much, but I mean, be careful. I mean, we don't want to, you can't end up in the ER again. You got to avoid the ER at all costs, baby girl.
And maybe you and I both could do with a little not texting our exes 19 times.
Ooh.
Let's try, why don't we try and take it down to, you know, the 8 to 10 range.
I think you guys should try to like, just not go there at all. At all. Just zero.
Can you get my phone taken away?
Yeah. You got to be patient and you can't be in the ER or jail or do anything crazy for the next at least 3 weeks, I would say.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I would say 5 to 10 business days.
Really? I mean, she can drink again, but she can't end up like bedridden in a hospital.
Okay, well, yeah.
So, girl, you've got this. They're going to come back around. You're just in your feels right now because you're depressed because you drank too much and you did some crazy shit, but you'll be fine. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Alex, could you read this?
Yes.
Can you read?
No, I am dyslexic, by the way. Fun fact, but here we go. Hey, Sophia, I need some advice about what to do with my gamer boyfriend. He plays video games for at least 10 hours of the day. He lives in my apartment and he never wants to get off the video game to spend time with me. Also, whenever I ask him to get off for a little bit, he says it's toxic. Am I in the wrong for wanting a little bit of attention and asking for him to get off for at least an hour?
This sounds like my brother. I think that's fucking disgusting. Yeah. If he's playing for 10 hours a day, then that means there's 14 hours left over. He needs to sleep for at least 6, which means there's 8 hours left over. He barely has any waking hours in the day when he's not asleep or playing a video game.
Yeah, he's probably doing this during the night then because people have to work. I'm assuming he's working.
Right.
So like, what, he gets off his 9 to 5, 5 to
whatever time in the morning
hours is. Yeah.
Wow. Damn. I would check all of his drawers. Is there Adderall? Is there Coke? How is he able to pull off this amount of gaming hours? And I would also knock the fucking, I was about to say P.O. box. That's how much of a non-gamer I am.
Oh,
I would knock the Nintendo, PS3, whatever the fuck, Xbox,
dude,
right off the counter and crash it. I would not deal with this
dude,
shit.
Dude, if you did that to me, I would fucking kill you. So I wouldn't recommend to do that.
Well, okay. Okay,
since it's not working, I would make it a thing about health. Because there's no way that's healthy for you. Like, if he's calling you toxic, why don't you make it, like, why don't you throw an article on his lap that's
right,
like, you know, I don't know,
you're
serial
killing
killers.
Brain cells?
That.
You're becoming a serial killer. You're killing brain cells.
Mm-hmm.
You're acting like a piece of shit. The fact that he says that she is toxic is gaslighting 101 to me. How the fuck is that toxic that she's asking him to, you know, hop off the game controller every once in a while?
Yeah, I don't. Very not toxic.
That's not a toxic thing at all. And is it wrong for you wanting a little bit of attention and asking him to get off for at least 1 hour, no. That's like the bare minimum that you could ask from this dude.
Yeah.
And if he's calling you toxic and like not obliging by that,
then maybe that's another conversation that we need to have.
I think you need to disconnect your Wi-Fi.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
And be like, oh my God, I like don't have any. It's crazy.
Why don't you get a hobby and do it for 10 hours and see how he likes it?
Well, he'll probably be too busy with his fucking video games and like not even notice. Girl, something needs to happen. You are not wrong for wanting 1 hour of his time. And honestly, not that I've dated the brightest, best in the game by any fucking means. I don't think I've ever dated a dude or would ever date a dude that plays video games for that long every day.
Yeah. Unless it's his career, then absolutely, baby girl.
If he's streaming and he's making money off of it, then maybe you are being a little toxic. If not, he's got to be kicked to the curb, all right? Woo! Damn, these video games are addicting.
You have no idea.
Okay. Hey, Sophia. When a man approaches you and asks you for your number, do you give it to him or ask him for his? The way I see it is if you take his number down, the ball is in your court and you can reach out on your own terms. Is there such a thing as him taking too long to text me if I give him my number? I had a guy wait a cool few weeks and was honestly turned off that he wasn't completely enamored by me and tempted to reach out right away. All right. Well, let's start from the top of this question. If a man approaches me and asks for my number, do I give it to him or ask him for his? I give it to him.
Yeah.
That does not mean I'm going to respond to him.
Yeah, it's rare that I give him my actual phone number.
Right. So that's like number one. But then she's saying like, do you ever add this element where you say, well, I don't want to give you mine, but I'll take yours down. Kind of this power play. I don't. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't because chances are wherever I am at the time that he's asking me for my number, if I get his, that is lost in the number file for the rest of my life.
1,000,000%.
I will never text him because I won't know which is his number and I won't have the memory or the gumption to try to track it down.
Mm-hmm.
So if a guy asks for my number, I give it to him. She doesn't like the fact that when she gives her number out, some of these dudes are taking a few weeks to get back, like to reach out to her.
Mm-hmm.
With that, I say, who gives a fuck? Who cares? I think I give my number out way too easily.
Dude, I went to a music festival this weekend. There are 18 unknown phone numbers in my phone.
I have no idea who they are. I have no intention of talking to them. I just give it out because it's easier than like the whole like, well, I have a boyfriend or like giving them the fake phone number because I ran into issues with that shit. I've told a dude I have a boyfriend and he said, what? Like, you think I'm trying to hit on you? Like, I just wanted to talk business. Like, da 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 da. And then it turns into a thing. I've had a dude say, all right, let me call your phone right now. Make sure I got the right number. I'm drunk.
Serial killer.
Exactly. So I just give out my number to whoever wants it. Chances of me responding, slim to none. But I think that you starting to say, hey, why don't I just grab your number instead so you can talk to them immediately is not the way to go. You don't want to talk to the dude that took 3 weeks to reach out to you. Why do you think that this dude took a few weeks to text this girl?
Maybe he was working on himself, or maybe one of his family members died.
Okay, so that was a lie, what Alex just said. What it really is he put her in his contact list as girls I'll reach out to when I'm desperate and when I want to fuck and when maybe my girlfriend and I are over. And it was a few weeks and he checked the list and you were there and he reached out. Oh. If a dude is really into it, he's reaching out immediately.
That's true.
So, and what happens? You get their number and you text them first and you say, hey, it's Meredith. Nice to meet you. Like, it was so fun tonight. Can't wait to hear from you. And then they don't reach out for a few weeks. Like, it's the same game. It's the same bullshit.
That's true.
So just give out your number to everyone. mm-hmm. is basically the bottom line.
Or tell them to follow you on Instagram. You get more followers and you don't necessarily have to follow them back.
Okay, that was brilliant. Thank you. All right, guys, that is it for this week. Ooh, next week is Thanksgiving. I can't believe Ooh. It. I love you guys so much. We got serious. We got silly. And I will talk to you guys next week. Alex, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at AlexFranco_meow.
And you can follow me, Sophie with an F, Franklin with a Y, on Instagram, TikTok. Again, please subscribe. Please, please, please. And rate and review. And I love you guys so much. Talk to you next week. Bye.